पते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणम रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो फोर्थ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट टू Since these verses are in the long verse format, it may not be possible for us to sing it. So I'll just read the verse, words and the English translation. Tasya hava ittham varshmana variyasa brihat shlokena chaujasa balena shriya yashasa virya shaurabhyam cha pita rishabha itidam नाम चकार तस्य ऑफ हिम हवा सर्टनली इत्थम वर्स ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद व्हेन द सन ऑफ महाराज नाभी बिकेम विजिबल ही एवेंस्ड ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज डिस्क्राइब्ड बाय द ग्रेट पोएट्स नेमली अ वेल बिल्ट बॉडी विथ ऑल द सिम्टम्स ऑफ द गॉडेड प्रोविस स्ट्रेंथ ब्यूटी name, fame, influence and enthusiasm. When the father Maharaj Nabhi saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. Purport. To accept someone as God or an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms were found in the body of Maharaj Nabhi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence and he could control his mind and senses. Consequently, he was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was the supreme living being. Beginning, I would like to take the blessings of Kathu Prabhu, is a senior Prabhupada disciple, has arrived here. So we would like to welcome him to Radha Gopinath Mandir in our traditional way.
Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
So we read here, when the son of Maharaj Nabhi became visible, he evinced good qualities described by the great poets. Namely, a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaj Nabhi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. So as we know previously, King Nabhi was desirous of having a son and he decided to perform a sacrifice where the priests would request a son for the king, and the priests themselves were very ashamed that why we have to bring the Supreme Lord down just to give a son. But nonetheless, the Srimad Bhagavatam assures akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Even in the human form of life, depending upon your previous actions, depending upon your understanding of life, you treat things in a particular way. And there are so many ways in which people are classified. So this one way is akama, no desires. This person just doesn't have any desires. Now, how do we understand if someone doesn't have any desires? The body has to eat, sleep. Chanakya Pandit says at least there are four things which a living entity has to do: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So Lord Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita as to how someone may be doing these things as if the body itself is engaged in its duties and the person inside is not involved. And again, to understand that I am a person living in this body, or I am this body. So Krishna again explains in the Bhagavad Gita that in the tamasic status, you don't understand who is the actual owner of the body. You feel that, well, the body is alive. That means when I say he is my friend, I point out to the body saying that this body alive is my friend. In the rajasic state, in the state of passion, you feel there is one soul, but which is divided into so many different living entities, and when they are liberated, it again becomes one. It is only in pure state of goodness that you can see things as they are. It is somewhat like we read 2 weeks ago, there was a big fog in northern India. Visibility was almost zero. So if you take your vehicle on the street and something is coming in your direction, you might just hear a sound, you might see a faint glimmer of some light. You don't know what is it. So tamasic knowledge is like that. In rajasic knowledge, for example, a car mechanic, by just hearing the sound of the engine, he can make some guesswork as to what kind of vehicle this may be. So there is too much of relying on your guesswork, which is very dangerous in many places. But in Sattvaguna, we can see clearly. Like in Bombay, there is no fog, so we can, with the help of the sun, we can see things clearly. How Anuman is dangerous, in a very humorous way, Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives this in his Bhagavad Gita, Journey of Self-Discovery course. There are three doctors, and they see a man limping. He is walking with a limp, not walking properly. So one, who is an orthopedic, he says there is some tendon which is damaged, that's why this person is walking like that. One who is a psychologist, he says that maybe he is having some trauma and therefore his bodily functions are deranged, he cannot walk properly. Another doctor, who is just a general physician, he says that maybe he is weak, he didn't eat properly. When all three ask the person what has happened, he says there is a pebble in my shoe. There is a stone which has gone in my shoe, therefore I cannot walk. So Anuman is so dangerous. Sometimes it may be truth, sometimes, most of the time it may not be. So what we see in this world is nothing but everybody making guesswork, speculation, and one who can do it in the best possible way, he gets accepted as a philosopher, at least in Kali Yuga. One whose range of flight, of fancy, is the most highest or largest, But that is not the way in which we get real knowledge. So there are people who, by dint of cultivation of knowledge, they say no desires. The opposite of them is a kama, sarva kamova. This person has all desires. He wants to enjoy everything. He wants to taste everything. There are poets and writers who say there are mountains to climb, forests to explore. And therefore in this world, that also is seen as a very nice sign that somebody is very interested in expanding his knowledge. Or a kama, sarva kama may just mean for his own sense gratification. There is another category, moksha kama. Who is a moksha kama? A moksha kama is someone who has his fill. He is so fed up with having his desires being fulfilled here that he says no more desires. I just don't want any desires. Because every time I exercise my right to desire something, I end up in problems. So I want moksha, I want freedom from all this business. But he wants something. Akama doesn't want to deal with desires. Sarvakama wants all desires to be fulfilled. Mokshakama wants freedom from this desire business. So Bhagavatam says, don't worry who you are. Do one thing, tivrena bhakti yogena. You have to engage in bhakti yoga. But to whom? Yajeta, yajat is to worship. Yajeta purusha param. Find out who is the supreme person. Now that's a very difficult thing, to find out who the supreme person is. There are so many supreme persons. You might say, in my house I am the boss. Like there was one person who said, in this house I am the boss and I have my wife's permission to say so. So there are various ways in which things become clear or things become dull depending upon how you see it. In the local government, we have a chief minister is the big boss of a state. Prime minister may be the boss of a country. In our Kali Yuga, we don't see anybody ruling over a whole planet. But this history shows that at one point of time, it's fantasy to think of that right now, but there were people who will rule one single planet. And sometimes a series of planetary systems. We can't imagine that now. Just imagine the power, the glory you may have. Whichever planet you visit, there are people willing to welcome you. Nowadays, a prime minister may go to his own constituency and he may feel, I am safe here. If I go to that area, they may shoot me. So, we may think things have progressed, but things have degraded to such a state that the leader of a country is not safe in his own country. What to speak of other countries? Like let's say somebody from India goes to Pakistan and we may say he is not safe there. That's understood. There might be people willing to harm them. But are leaders safe in their own places today? One of our prime ministers was shot by her own bodyguards. Not from enemy soldiers or whatever. So we may see that there is so much elaborate arrangement for their security. But that's not the real thing. It is described in the fourth canto that King Prithu, when he would come to his capital, he would go out for hunting expedition or for taking a review of the situation in his country. When he would come back, people would willingly throng the streets, the buildings, the homes, just to get a glimpse of their beloved king. The leader would be so dearly loved by everybody, but that Their eyes gone. It's not possible. We see a faint glimpse when we see the old films of Srila Prabhupada, how he would go to visit one center and that center would be literally electrified with enthusiasm. Srila Prabhupada is coming and everything would be scrupulously clean and the atmosphere would be like so joyous. So Prabhupada, not once but many times, he would repeat this theme, especially with reporters who would come to cover the event, and they would have only one emotion in their mind: jealousy. They used to cover political leaders, academic scholars, but they have never seen something like this. And Prabhupada was received not by scholars or by devotional practitioners, but just 6 months ago these people were hippies whose credo, whose faith was don't believe anyone about 30. No leaders, everybody is equal. No laws, no rules. How come in just a short time they agreed to be ruled by Prabhupada's instructions? Obviously there is something higher than just vote or force of law. So Krishna also rules the supreme, the spiritual planets, not by force of law, but force of love. In this material world, his law is there, but it is in sort of a covered way. It is not that Krishna's law doesn't work here. It works, but it works indirectly. Through his material energy, Krishna exercises control over this material world. From one point of view, it's like a prison house where everybody who doesn't like to obey the rules, obey the laws, is sent to the prison house. If the government wants, they can just shoot everybody, because these people are all rebels, they are lawless, good for nothing. But no, the idea is to give them a place, a surrounding where they can understand what was wrong with them and they can also understand the value of freedom. Similarly, in this material world, we also get experience of what is the price of forgetting Krishna. And we also get a chance to understand what it is like to be with Krishna. But we have to be fortunate to understand these both. Like recently there was a big disaster and so many people are writing about catastrophes. Like one person is asking, did not God, when he unleashed that tidal wave, didn't he know that there are school children who will be drowning now? There are innocent people who are traveling in a train, that train will be toppled. There are people who have just come for a well-earned vacation, they have worked very hard. There are people from as far as Sweden who have nothing to do with Southeast Asia. But why kill them? And why kill them in this way? Why not independently kill them in their own houses? Giving somebody a heart attack, giving somebody some other disease, it would be nice. But no, this God doesn't want to do like that. He wants to show off his power. Yeah, that's what some people are accusing. It's funny. For so much of a time, God simply doesn't figure in their daily life. In fact, one devotee points out, this tsunami is nothing. This one disaster is nothing to what human beings are unleashing on other innocent animals on a daily basis. We may have a few thousand washed away by waves, but how many millions are daily sent into an organized slaughterhouse to have their necks chopped off? So every time somebody clears a bit of meat from his teeth, he has to understand that I am just participating. I already participated in a
disaster so big, so great, but I'm just not aware of it. Of course, as representatives of Krishna, devotees' job or service is a labor of love. We want to make others understand why this is happening to you. Of course, those are already dead, you can't preach to them. But those who are living, they have the most problems. In fact, in England, the Archbishop, he went on record as to say that, after seeing this, I can't believe in God. So faith in someone supreme is so fragile in this world that any small thing, that's what is typical of Kali Yuga. Any little thing which happens for your happiness, you feel, oh, I am the greatest, I am so happy today, life is so great. And the next moment something else happens, you say life is worthless, life is not worth living. In that I am always amused, it's a thing which happened many years ago. One European country, they were playing the World Cup football, and one fellow hammered 6 goals, just one player. And the public was saying, make him president. Now can you imagine, it would be so nice that all you need to do is to just kick a leather ball around and people say that, make him our leader, make him our president. What happens next? In another country, the player kicked the ball in his own goalpost by mistake. They shot him. When he came back, he was shot dead. So leadership has come down to such a worthless phenomenon that you don't know when people will just respect you and when they will drop you down. It's very risky and people know it. So leaders don't have any respect for their followers. You see, these are all idiots, asses. And vice versa. So how do you have a situation where sanity prevails, or there can be some proper understanding of the goal of life? If you take a survey, you will find most people today not very comfortable with leadership, even in a spiritual concept. Why have a leader? Why should I obey? Why should I bow down before someone? In fact, one of the most important things which Prabhupada would have to explain to reporters or to other people, that one person, it was a parent of a devotee who was Prabhupada's initiated disciple, and this lady came and said, Swamiji, these people are practically worshipping you. That means she wanted to point out something which Prabhupada didn't notice, maybe she thought, that they are practically worshipping you. And Prabhupada in his matter of fact style said, yes, and so am I worshipping my own spiritual master. My job is to take worship from them and pass it on to my guru, whose job is to pass it to his guru. And in this way, by accepting a proper spiritual leader, you get the benefit of worshipping the Supreme Lord. So Yajeta Purusha Param, for many people, they won't take the step of understanding from Shastra who is Krishna. Why should I respect him? In one lecture, Prabhupada, see how Prabhupada puts it very simplified way. He said, just like in our body, there are so many limbs. All these limbs work for the body. But which is the main limb? The head. Of course, the heart is there, but the head is considered to be the limb giving direction. And Prabhupada says, similarly in business and commerce, one office is called the head office. Why not the leg office or the ear office? No, it doesn't make sense. It has to be the head which gives guidance. Similarly in society, you have Shudras who do one kind of work. You have Vaishyas who do commerce. You have Kshatriyas, administration. But for direction you need Brahmanas. In the ashramas you have Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis who do the same leadership role. So similarly, even for human society in this material world, we need God to give that leadership role. We cannot escape it. As Prabhupada was telling the Russians, you have just replaced God with your Lenin. There is no difference. You have to accept someone. And the last thing, if somebody says, I don't follow anyone, there is no role model in my life, I don't want any, I am happy with what I am getting, you are accepting your mind as your leader. That's all. So no one can escape this. So now who is the incarnation? When Krishna came personally, there were people who said, I don't believe him. They actually had enmity towards him. So we think that at least God means everybody has to accept him as God, 100%. But then 100% of who? Like if you bring a bunch of ignorant people and let the Nobel Prize for Physics winner read out his dissertation before them and ask them their opinion as to what do you feel? He says, I don't feel this is any important. But of course, what is your credibility? What is your qualification in giving a remark? His Holiness Hridayanand Maharaj, many, many years ago was in India. I still have those tapes. He was in one medical college. And one medical student was arguing, why put so much emphasis on Krishna's Gita? There are so many others who have spoken Gita. So Maharaj was telling him, everybody can write poems if they want to. Most people choose not to, but if they want to, they can make some poem or write some play. He says, why are Shakespeare's plays chosen as a syllabus for the BA or MA exam? He said, why not yours, why not mine? Can we go to the Senate and say, Shakespeare wrote plays, I am writing plays. So common thing is play, play. So you are chosen, for this year you have chosen his play, next year why don't you choose my plays? He says, they are chosen because they are better. It's not a question of voting, not a question of giving, filling some seats or some quota. That doesn't work in spiritual affairs. You have to understand, not using your anuman, not using your blunt senses, how something is really better. Now this is a real tough task. The Mahabharata guides us. While trying to understand who is the leader, who is God, who is supreme, tarko apratishtha. Don't use your logic, because logic has no foundation. If a child has to ask, who is your father? He will say, well, I don't know, but I'll ask my mother. Can you understand who is your father without asking your mother? So, no, there is no way I can do research. By logic, by reasoning, I can never understand who my father is. The easy way is just ask my mother. So those who just indulge in logic, they will never get a clear-cut understanding. You cannot prove Krishna is God just on the basis of logic. So tarka is gone out, thrown out of the window. Srutaya vibhinna. Srutaya vibhinna, there are so many scriptures. Like we always have this thing, somebody says, but in Ganesh Puran it is said that Lord Ganesha is supreme. And the Shiva Purana says Lord Shiva is supreme. The Vayu Purana says Vayu is supreme. And some Purana says nobody is supreme, you are all supreme. So Srutayo Vibhinna, you take one Shruti and you just say this is what it is. Prabhupada in his 66th lecture says, the Muslims may say we eat cows because it is said in our scriptures, you can eat. The Hindus may say, no, we should not eat because our scriptures say we should not eat. So it is not that in religious wars, one party is saying that actually we know we are on the wrong side, but still we want to fight. No, not like that. They are not only feeling, they are convinced we are right. And doubly convinced others are wrong. Like look into any religious war, both parties are saying God is on our side. So how do you just depend on some scriptures? So tarko pratishtha satayo vibhinna, you may say, no, I follow this particular philosopher, I really like his books. You really like him because he is just echoing what your own mind is saying. He is confirming your own anuman or tarka in such a way, in such a beautiful conceptual way that you feel, wow, he is better than my, you know, my own speculative mind cannot think of this in a much better way. So that is what mundane philosophers do. They give something which may be as degraded as anything as mundane lust, but give it to philosophy. And people say, ha, this is it. For such a long time I was waiting for someone to come up with a whole philosophy behind mundane lust, calling it super consciousness. So that's what people are waiting for. So nasa rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Here rishi is not taken a term of Narad Rishi or Durvasa Rishi. This is just a mundane philosopher. How do you become a mundane philosopher? By kicking out all other philosophers with their philosophies. Then you join their group. Can you imagine a group where you have to insult, you have to kick out everyone's way of understanding? And when you do it, they accept you. Okay, you come and join us now. But be assured, someone tomorrow is going to kick your philosophy also. But people are so numb, they say, so what? That's what it is. Life is progressive. You'll always have new and new theories every day. Like one scientist friend was telling, there is something called a constant. Heisenberg's constant. That constant is being revised every decade. So they say, why call it constant? Call it a variable now. Every 10 years somebody says, this mathematical equation is not like this, it is much more here, it's much more here, it's much more here. So one reporter was arguing with Prabhupada, this proves that our knowledge is being more and more refined. Prabhupada says, sorry, this proves you were never correct in the first place. Like somebody may say the distance between the sun and the moon and earth, that triangle may be X kilometers. They say, now we know it is X.1. Then they may say, now we know it is X.11. So that means X was already wrong. But we also are befooled into following that this may be progress. So if one philosopher says this is the path, other says no it is not, this is the path, what is the way out? At least we may actually think there is no way out. But the Mahabharata assures, Maha Jano Yena Gatasa Pantha. Find out who is a Mahajan. Those Mahajanas are also described in the Shastras. A Mahajan is an authority. And who makes him a Mahajan? He is following his previous authority. Who is following his previous authority? Who is following his previous authority? Even for a simple thing like clarifying a philosophical concept in Srimad Bhagavatam, you find such a great authority like Shukdev Goswami saying, my dear King Parikshit, I am so enlivened by your question. This question was asked at this particular place and the four Kumaras answered it in this way. Listen very carefully. I am going to repeat that same answer to you now. What a reassurance. That means not only he is having his own realization, but he is so truthful, he is so careful to keep that parampara understanding intact. So therefore, Krishna or his representatives, when they arrive here, Krishna's energies, Krishna's Shakti behind them makes them that attractive for most. Because the spiritual power, spiritual energy is powerful than the material energy. I said most because there would be some exceptions who would not be attracted. Like, isn't it reasonable to say that a magnet attracts iron? Generally you may say yes. But you may show me a rusted nail and you may say, look, this is not getting attracted. So you say, yes, that exception is there. So similarly, when an acharya comes or the Lord comes, he is a supreme magnet. And he has to attract by his power. But there are some rusted nuts, in both senses of the term, who would not show that attraction, who won't show that attraction. So what? This Krishna is showing this, he's just a magician. So therefore, even Srila Prabhupada, some of his own people from his guru's mutt, they were saying, so what? If he went to the west and it did this, we can also do it. So that is that feeling of plain jealousy or envy. But the fact is that normally people get attracted by all these things which are mentioned in this verse: prowess, urja, strength, bala, beauty, name, fame, influence, enthusiasm. Just by the sheer enthusiasm, ask yourself, have you seen anyone so enthusiastic who would rise at 1 o'clock in the morning and start translation and then go on a morning walk and not discuss mundane affairs to relieve of the stress of that morning translation session, but again talk of the same thing, then during lunch time again talk of the same thing, then call guests and again talk of the same thing, then give an evening discourse and talk of the same thing, and then in midnight wake up one disciple and ask about the same thing? So devotees were amazed. How can Prabhupada think of Krishna literally not 24 but more than that hours of the day? And he said that's what is the definition of an acharya. He is just addicted to Krishna, that's all. Even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simple terms, it is explained. Now these are not philosophers, these are not people who would learn various scriptures and then come to a conclusion. But Lord Chaitanya in his previous stage, not in his sannyas stage, when he was a Nimai Pandit, he was a scholar. That time, when he was a sannyasi, he looked very beautiful indeed, like we see in that picture over there. But when he was in his Grihastha stage, that time also he looked just like Kamadev. So beautiful. As he was wandered through the streets of Nadia, the Chaitanya Bhagavat explains how one day a garland seller just called him and he said, Nimai Pandit, take this garland. This is the best I have. Normally I don't get these kind of flowers, but today I found them. So please, this is for you. So he said, well, thank you. I don't have anything to pay you. He says, never matter. No problem. By seeing this garland on your body, I am feeling transcendental pleasure. In the next market, someone selling fragrant oils, he would say, here is the best perfume I could ever lay my hands on, and this is for you. And he would anoint his body with the perfume. One would give him sweetmeats, milk. One gave him silken dress. He said, Nimai Pandit, this is for you. We may not think, we may see even mundaners being given this kind of treatment, but not for long. So the point I am trying to make is, there is an inbuilt attraction already there. For anything which is superb, anything which is excellent, our mind gets attracted there. But in the mundane environment, the idea is, why not me? Why he? We may see somebody accepting a big cup as a winner. We say, I wish I would be there. Somebody accepting an Oscar or somebody accepting a PhD certificate. All the thing is, why not me? And that's what this world is. Why not? Why me? Why he? Why not me? In the spiritual world, the same thing happens. But it's just, why me? It should be he. Krishna desires to give something to someone and he says, no, not me, it's for you. That's the only difference. There was an astrologer who came to Nadia and he could see somebody's palm and tell him about his or her previous life. In this life, previous stages or future. So Nimai Pandit goes to show his hand and he says, well, but before he could make any calculation, he just practically is transported into a state where he sees all the avatars, all the Purusha avatars. He sees the entire cosmic manifestation revolving before him and he's stunned. So Nimai Pandit just says, tell me something. I came to show you my palm here. So he said, I don't know, but normally I don't get these kind of visions, but seeing your palm, just all these various Lila avataras, where these Purusha avataras are all being present before me. And then he says, maybe you are that supreme incarnation who is the source of all these incarnations. So when the Lord comes just by his personal presence, he makes people fortunate. That's how it is. As a rule, no one in this world is fortunate. Now those who didn't die in this disaster may feel very nice to watch it on your TV and say, my God, did you see that wave? And they say, okay, we are fortunate. It will never happen in Bombay at least. But Krishna doesn't need a tsunami or something to kill you. Actually, Krishna doesn't have any desire to kill you. We are already killing ourselves by our way of life. What he wants is to give us eternal life. The Bhagavad Gita explains, Sa amritatvaya kalpate. If everywhere we see only death, where does the conception of amrita come from? And amrita is in some foodstuff, amrita is in some literature, amrita is a state of existence. The understanding is, everything in the spiritual world is of that quality. Amrita. Mrito ma amrita gamaya. Don't stay in this land where there is death at every stage. So, how do we recognize the incarnation? Ask anybody in the street, he may say, oh, this Baba cured my heart attack. He took my high blood pressure. Somebody said he took my low blood pressure. Does the incarnation have to do all these things? Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami, the first thing you should see in an avatar is not the books he has written or the countries he has visited or the awards or citations which he has got. His bodily features. His bodily features themselves have to be well built. Now, well built doesn't mean in our sense of a Mr. Universe type person or a gymnast or an athlete. They may show that glimpse for some period. Like if you see the football heroes of 1970s, if they meet together, you will feel these people were footballers, or you know, they have these big tummies and completely contorted bodily features. Why? Because they tortured their body so much for some amount of time, now the body is taking its own revenge. It was not a natural thing. It was a very unnatural kind of thing. Like there was one Bhagavan who was in Pune. At that time the devotees in Pune wanted to have a Jagannath Rath Yatra. So one reporter asked a devotee, you are having this Bhagavan Jagannath Rath Yatra? and there is this Bhagwan here. So how do you relate it? So he said, well, Bhagwan means first of all beautiful. So he said, this fellow, is he anywhere coming near the term beauty? You don't. And the next day, when the Rath Yatra was about to begin, the news came that this Bhagwan had some severe neck pain and he cannot move his neck, cannot move, get up from bed. So the devotee said, look, these cheap Bhagwans, they may have toothaches and neck pain in the neck. They are a pain in the neck for the whole society, but sometimes they too get their pains in the neck. So that doesn't happen with this Jagannath. He may look strange, he may look different, but he is the Supreme Lord. So we consider somebody just two notches better than us as the Supreme. And that should not be confused with understanding an incarnation. In the previous verse, Prabhupada clarifies, the first thing is to see the bodily features, the palms and the soles of the feet, they have specific markings and not tattoos. Natural markings. When Krishna would walk on Braja or in Hastinapur or anywhere, the earth would be having those markings. And the earth would say, I am so fortunate. I am being decorated by these markings. And the second thing is, the Shastras, they should actually describe that person's qualification. So two things are needed. And we see both these things are not followed in today's day and age. And therefore anybody can become a incarnation. In fact, the bigger the liar you are, the greater is the chance of you being accepted as an incarnation. You tell the grossest of lies and you'll find a massive following. So that's what happens. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, there are people out there, there is a whole market ready of cheated. They want to get cheated. So Krishna sends a cheater. It's not that he cheats them. Oh, because this fellow was there, therefore I got cheated. No, sir, you are wrong. You in your heart had this cheating mentality, this propensity, which is already there in everybody. To fulfill that, Krishna just sent a proper receptacle. So we have to check in our own heart whether, if just I am introduced somebody supreme, really, is there a desire to follow him or a desire to imitate him? In the very next verse, we will find King Rishabhdev. Rishabh means the best. Knowing fully well that he is not an ordinary person, he is Krishna. And Indradev, Indra is a very peculiar personality. What does he do? He withdraws rainfall from that particular area where Rishabhdev is staying. Now, can you imagine? It's like stealing something, like if you go to Bill Gates to his office and steal a stapler from his office and tell him that now you are little less worth. You may be $85 billion worth, but I have your stapler with me. He may say, it's ridiculous. If I like, tomorrow I may buy the whole company. So similarly to Krishna, who is controlling the entire cosmos, not just one element, water, but all the elements. And here is one personality ruling over just one particular administrative function, saying that, I won't give you water. So what does Krishna do? He showers water by himself. So this Indra nature is in all of us. We may just not have the crown in front of us. We may not have a thunderbolt in our hands. But it is there. Naranayan Rishi is doing tapasya. What happens when Indra sees somebody doing tapasya? So he is trying to take my post. He doesn't know that this is the Supreme Lord showing others by his own example. Utsi deyu rime loka. Krishna says, if I don't show by my proper example, this world may go into ruination. Arjuna is saying, if I kill everybody, this world will be ruined. And Krishna is saying, no. If you don't fight, the world will be ruined. So you have to accept someone. So if we accept Krishna as Mahajan, who is accepted as a Mahajan by others, at least we are safe. If somebody says, you don't accept Bali Maharaj as your as a Mahajan, because you may get the same fate. You may say, I want that fate. If I was being cheated like Bali Maharaj, it is not that Krishna will just give a part of a fate. He will give the full package. So if he royally cheated Bali Maharaj of the three worlds, Bali Maharaj says, I am most happy now that you took it away from me. And Krishna became his doorman. So who doesn't want such a fate? So therefore, following in the footsteps of Mahajana means accepting that whatever may happen in their life, I should also be ready for such an experience. So, just to complete the example of Naranara and Rishi, so Indra sent some beautiful girls from his planet to attract the mind of Naranara and Rishi when he was doing tapasya. And Naranara and Rishi, seeing this, had so much pity for the samples which Indra had sent that he produced from his own potency something 100 times more bewitching. And Indra said, oh, I like this. So he said, take it. Then Indra is so happy, you know, I went to pull down someone and instead of that I got something for my own enjoyment. So for Naranara Rishi, the Supreme Lord himself, to give something which is so minuscule is, that's not a show of his full force. In fact, in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, we find the full force of the mercy or the full force of an incarnation's prowess is not in killing everybody or not in grand buildings or great books, but in the mercy which is showered. So, Rishabhdev also, such a great king, everybody loves him. He accepts a wife, has 100 sons from her. The eldest is Maharaj Bharat. Such a great king that the entire planet's name was changed. From Ilavrata Varsha, it became Bharata Varsha. And we have Bharat, this country named after, still the name is there, from that great king, son of Rishabhdev. He had 9 sons who just became mendicants, sannyasis, not even sannyasis, avadhutas. So these 100 sons of Rishabhdev, one was a kshatriya, some became brahmana, some became avadhutas. So this also proves that what Narad Muni says, yasya yal lakshanam proktam, whoever shows whatever nature, he should use that in Krishna's service, he should be accepted as such. It's not that in order to be successful in spiritual life, we all have to be leaders or we all have to be number one, whatever we do. Like in the outside world, we find unless you become the best, you won't survive. Spiritual life is not a life of competition. There is no scarcity of resources here. Krishna's ability to accept service is unlimited. Krishna's ability to give you resources is unlimited. The only thing limited is your desire to serve him. So, even Prabhupada, when he would discuss about the possibilities of the Hare Krishna movement spreading everywhere, he says there is no shortage. Just regarding feeding people, he said, let the whole world come, we will feed them. Provided we all agree that everything comes from Krishna. So, just to round it up, an incarnation has to show bodily features. Not just bodily features, even mental prowess. Like here,
Rishabhdev is showing full control over mind and senses, influence over others, enthusiasm. Bodily features include specific markings and beauty, bodily beauty. Mind you, Rishabhdev in his Antalila, in his end part of his life, was like a completely disheveled looking man, no clothes, long hair, like a madman. So you may say, what is the beauty in that? He was practicing a very, very different and difficult kind of yoga called Jada Yoga, where he would not even care about his bodily functions. He would pass stool wherever he would sit. But the only difference was, his stool would completely emit such a fragrance that that whole area about 8 miles around would be filled with that bewitching fragrance. So Prabhupada said, you can imitate him if you can make your stool fragrant, which is such a impossibility. So in no way we can imitate God, and that natural attraction towards something supreme which is there, which is being wrongly used in this material world with jealousy and envy as the main platform, it has to be transformed into genuine appreciation and desire to serve. And then our path towards eternal life, glorious life, knowledgeable life, and a life full of consciousness is clear. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or comments? Gautam Prabhu, any comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you mentioned that because we have the propensity to cheat, that is why Krishna sends a cheater. Why is it that this propensity is increasing in Kali Yuga? Is it that the souls or the living entities which are coming are only those which have a greater propensity to cheat? Or is it, I mean, what is the reason why it increases in Kali Yuga?
First of all, it's like a heavily infected area. If you have an area which is having an epidemic of smallpox, even a reasonably healthy person going there won't stay there for a long time. Or one particular street is having so much smoke that even if you are in your car, you may see somebody on a cycle or bicycle completely suffocated. But in your car, even if it is covered, after some time you will feel, I am feeling so uneasy. So that is a degree to which everybody will exhibit these lower tendencies. Those who are the weakest, they'll show it in a very gross way. But even those who are so-called insulated, those who are not particularly having that connection, still that thing is there. So as the mode of ignorance increases, which is the qualification for Kali Yuga, it starts with only 25% goodness intact, and that is attacked right from day one. So as it progresses, these tendencies will increase, because that's what Kali is supposed to do. Increase quarrel and hypocrisy. And hypocrisy means you have to be cheating. You know something is there, but you have to put a facade. So it's mainly because of the prevailing environment.
The souls which come here are the ones which have to have that environment.
Well, I have not read anywhere that one particular batch goes in a Satya Yuga and other batch goes in Dwapar Yuga. It's not exactly like that. The soul by nature is pure. Rainfall as a drop is pure. You have three different colored glasses with three different colored liquids, and you'll find the more rain falls in the blue glass, the blue liquid, that blue just increases, or the red liquid increases, the green increases. It's just because that drop follows, takes the course of the pigment in that particular area.
So living entities who are sent in Kali Yuga are not exactly more pious or less pious. It's just that by the will of providence they happen to be here. Now at the same time, just to give a different track on this thought, it is not that they are basically per se unfortunate. They may get the biggest license to go out of this world by just chanting. So when the things are very rosy and nice, the means of getting out are made difficult. And when things are too difficult, there is a royal road open. So that's how things are balanced. Any other question? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gopinath ki.